we get in our heads a lot, and we let a lot of things stop us from doing what it takes to have success in our life. And this includes starting a YouTube channel, creating consistently, and figuring out what growth looks like. So in this video, we're going to show you how someone with ADHD is able to conquer this and have success on YouTube. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, description, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? Thank you so much for letting me spend time with you today. I'm so excited to be here. Again, my name is Desiree Martinez, your hostess. And if you are new here, thank you so much for joining us. I hope that you are excited about the YouTube journey you are about to be on. And those of you that are not new, like, what up? How's it going? How are things? We have so much cool stuff going on in the YouTube world. So many great new features are being added. There's such a massive growth of shorts. We're having all these people from TikTok creators become over to YouTube. And there's just so much fun stuff happening. And there's so many opportunities, which can cause squirrel brain. And so many things to be happening all over the place. Like, oh, I could do this. I could do this. I could do this. I can speak from experience. When you're trying to do too much, you will fail. This was literally how I would define my 2020, especially the end of it. I was trying to do so many things. And because of it, like unilaterally, everything was suffering. My agency was suffering. I wasn't creating as well as I wanted to. I was missing out on things I wanted to do. I was missing people. My kids were suffering and they were like, where's my mommy? And my husband was agitated because I felt like I was always saying things like, oh, I'm so busy. I have so much going on. When I took 2 weeks off at the end of last year and I was like, no, not working. And I literally said at the time that what is important to me? What matters? Where can I make my money and prioritize my time best? And I dialed it down to 4 things. YouTube, this podcast, the Amazon affiliate program, and launching a YouTube mastermind program. And like, if anything I do in my business can't support that, I have to say goodbye to it. So I let go of doing a show I wanted to do for syndicated TV. I let go of trying to start a membership. I let go of like running advertisements. I'm not doing any courses this year. I'm not signing up for any programs, no matter how enticing they are, because I never do them. Like, I just had a real honest look at who I was and was that. And this is what you do to have success. You focus, you simplify, and you become badass at these things, and you make sure that you measure your success on a month-to-month basis. So that's what we're going to talk about. We talked with Jenna Redfield about how she's been able to create her business to the point through ADHD, which is a hard thing for actually women to get diagnosed for. And she's created this YouTube channel. She's created this brand. She's created this business. And she now is helping other individuals who are struggling with ADHD conquer it because of that. So really take what she says to heart and focus on like, what can you do to simplify? How can you make sure that you are not squirreling all over your business, but really creating something awesome and strategic that is going to be fruitful for you as you go throughout your business? Without further ado, here is that podcast. I am so excited to have you on the show today, Jenna, and share your journey with our awesome listeners. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Okay. Why YouTube?
Yeah. So I started YouTube back in 2006, which is like the year after it started. I was in my, I was in high school, or I think I was actually in middle school, and I just discovered it one day. I was really into watching online videos, and I was like, what's this new, platform called YouTube? And so around that time, I just was like, you know what, why not make a video about something? So I started my channel. It's still on the internet, but it's not the same one I have now. And I would just make like fun TV show edits, and it taught me how to edit. And I loved it so much that I decided to pursue that as a career. So I went to film school. I went to like a regular college, but I was a film production major. So I wanted to pursue video editing, and I moved out to Los Angeles my junior year and did a film program. So that was really interesting, and allowed me to be able to make a lot of decisions about what I wanted in my career. And during that time, I realized I also had another passion for marketing and social media in specifically. So I pursued that as well, along with video. And then after I graduated, I started my first business filming weddings. So it was a way for me to use my video skills locally. And then after that, I realized weddings weren't really my industry. So I ended up just doing a lot of freelance video editing before eventually moving more into social media marketing. During that time, I also started a podcast. So I ended up going with podcasting for quite a few years. And then only when about the pandemic hit, I realized, you know, I had started this channel right after I graduated and finally was like, you know what, I'm really going to take YouTube seriously for once. You know, I've loved it for a long time as a hobby, but now I'm like, you know what, I think I really want to actually be consistent and post weekly and actually, you know, niche down and grow my channel. Because I'd had about 1,500 subscribers for probably about 5 years, and I just never grew it or, you know, did anything with it. So I just hit 2,500 this week. So it's been growing, and I'm really happy with the progression of it over the last, I would say, a year and a half since I started growing. So that's kind of a quick recap of my life.
Totally. That's what we need. It's what we're here for. So what is your channel about?
Yeah. So originally it was kind of all over the place. Back when I first started it, it was more of like a lifestyle. I did makeup. I did fashion. It was just not really something. I just saw other people doing that. It wasn't really my passion. I just, you know, I did some home decor stuff. It was all over the place. I wasn't niched down. And it wasn't until about a couple of years ago, I started doing a lot more marketing stuff. And then once I found Notion, which is what a lot of my content is about now, as well as ADHD, those are the two topics I would say I talk about 85 to 90% of the time, I realized that there was a niche of people that had both issues. They wanted to learn about Notion, but they also had ADHD. So it's a little bit harder for them to learn about it. So that was kind of the thing that I have niched down to. I still add marketing there because I eventually do want to come back to that because that's a big passion of mine as well. But for me, I really think that Notion and ADHD are really my two niches. And that's what people have kind of known me for now on my channel.
So how have you been able to, so you've mentioned ADHD and that's what you're talking about on your channel. And when we were offline, you had mentioned it before. Mm-hmm. Talk us through that struggle as a professional woman mm-hmm. and how it has affected you as a creator.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing that there's so many issues, right? Like it's very much something that I'm actually going to therapy right now because it's something that I've struggled with for a long time without knowing it. A lot of women spend their whole lives not knowing that they have it and then are like diagnosed as adults. And that's what I've seen as well for myself. But I think one of the things that a lot of women that are ADHD, they are creative, but they struggle with a lot of things called executive functions, which means that like just the basics of life, it's very hard to follow up on things, very forgetful, memory issues. There's a lot of just issues around figuring out different methods of how do I work my brain, which is called usually called like neurodivergent brain. How do I work that in with the neurotypical world that we're kind of put into boxes? And I will say there's actually not a lot of ADHD YouTube channels, which is kind of surprising to me. There's a lot more Notion channels. And I think it's because a lot of ADHD people, there's quite a few podcasts and there's quite a few TikTok accounts, but putting all together a YouTube channel is a lot of work. And I just think a lot of ADHD people sometimes don't always finish projects that they start, or they get distracted with something else or more interested in something. I just talked about this in a video I did yesterday, motivation. We have different motivations than the rest of the world. And so it's like, for me, what I'm doing on my channel is helping people figure out what are some tools, whether that's a product that they need or don't need, what are some helpful ways to use planning tools when our brains don't always work the same as the rest of the world. So for me, as someone who I've also find a lot of creative entrepreneurs have ADHD because we don't fit into the molds of society. It's hard for us to be interested in the jobs that we have. So we make them for ourselves. So you'll find that there's a lot of misinformation about ADHD, and I've been reading lots of books and I'm not an expert on it. I'm just giving my advice from someone who, you know, has learned so much about it and can provide some examples for people. So I hope that answers your question. It's kind of, it's different for everyone. I think, you know, for a lot of people, this is just what I'm doing. And so that's kind of what I'm sharing on my channel is just from somebody who's been struggling. How have I found tools for myself?
Well, and I think you had something that was really interesting. It's like, how are you motivated to do things? Like, why are you doing something? And I think that's an important question for anyone who's doing anything, especially something that they want to do long-term or something they want to make into a business that's going to hopefully make them money or establish them as a brand. I think that's something that we as creators deal with on a grand scale. So my question to you is how then do you go through the process? So like, what does your YouTube creating process look like when you're also fighting like your ADHD habits or tendencies, and also, you know, just wanting to grow something and financially prosper from it?
Yeah. I think the biggest issue is keeping the interest, right? So it's like keeping, for me, I don't know why, but I've always just loved YouTube. So the interest has never been an issue. It was more of finding time to do it, being able to publish, you know, all the things where it comes down to, again, scheduling and planning and all these things. And how do I, my issue when I first started my channel was I wanted to do it all. I wanted to do every topic because I love every topic. But what the biggest thing I've learned about YouTube is you have to niche down. Like, you just absolutely have to, because people are coming to your channel for one reason. And I think for me, one of the things was Notion as a tool has actually helped me plan my content. So I have a content calendar within there. So if I come up with an idea, I write it down, and then at some point I'll eventually do it. But one of the things I've learned is I can't have too many ADHD videos in a row or people are going to lose interest. So it's like Notion, ADHD, 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 Notion, Notion, Notion. So it's like, I kind of have to mix it up in terms of the content because I kind of have two different audiences, but sometimes they overlap. But for me, planning with Notion, figuring out also from the comments, I don't know if you take video ideas from comments, but if people leave a comment and they're like, can you go deeper into this thing? Or could you talk about this thing? I really look at that and think, is that worth a video? Or is that, I could maybe make a TikTok about that, right? If it's a 3-minute video versus a 15-minute video. So I really think I did like a whole automation series. It was 4 videos because I kept thinking of automation. I'm like, let's do a 4-part series. So I've been kind of experimenting with what works better. And I really do get a lot of good feedback from my audience. I also just started a Facebook group too. So I get a lot of ideas from in there. And that's a great way for people to connect with me off of the platform.
So you had said that women are often diagnosed ADHD is missed, and it's a struggle they have. For those of us that maybe think they have ADHD or they have a hard time completing tasks or having executive dysfunction, what are some of the signs and things that creators should look for in themselves to see if that's a problem they have? I mean, we are women creators, so we might not know that we have a struggle on our
hands. Yeah. There, I would go and just search up ADHD symptoms, because there are sometimes what I've seen a lot in the ADHD community is some people are actually bipolar, or they have autism, or they have depression or anxiety. Like, there's a lot of, they're called comorbidities, which basically means there's usually like issues with it. So like, I would just start looking up symptoms. I actually figured it out from TikTok. Saw this TikTok and she started listing all of the symptoms. And I'm like, I have every single one of those. And then started reading all the books. And like, you know, I've also recently been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. So like, I have all these different things that I'm like, well, I just kind of knew that my whole life, didn't really need a diagnosis, but I was officially diagnosed by my therapist. So it's like, there are a lot of different things that for women specifically with ADHD, and there's been a lot more research in the last decade, but for 50 years, women were not looked at as having ADHD. None of the studies included women. It was all young boys, because you can see ADHD in them. They're, you know, jumping off the walls. They're it's externally shown, but for women, a lot of it's inside their heads. So it's a lot of the mental things that you can't always tell people that you're experiencing. And women still have trouble today getting diagnosed because sometimes their doctors don't believe them. So it's like getting second, third, fourth opinions and all that. So again, I'm not an ADHD expert, but like, that's kind of what I've seen. I'm in a lot of the Facebook groups and there's so much to it. It's a very hard thing to, you know, figure out if that's what you have, and the process does not make it easy. So I would definitely like go to multiple doctors. There are like psychiatrists you can go to, or even just a primary care doctor. But I think really just figuring out for yourself, you know, starting to look into some of the, I guess, tools that you can use. And that's really what I'm sharing on my YouTube channel are, for example, one of the things I talk about is buy clear containers instead of ones that you can't see into, because you were going to forget that you own something, right? Because in your head, you're completely, if it's not there, object permanence, you'd forget that it exists. So I think really just that's what my YouTube channel is all about, is just giving some advice around okay, so like my last video was on home organization tools, right? You know, I talked a little bit about motivation and consistency. What are some of the small things you can do to improve? Because here's the thing, ADHD is not a condition that can be cured. You're going to have it your whole life, but how do you make it easier for yourself? And there are medications and things, but really it comes down to systems. And to me, that's why I love Notion, is it's very customizable to your brain. And so that's why I get really excited about it, is I finally found a tool that works for me, works for my brain. And yeah, so that's just kind of a quick summary of ADHD. There's a lot to unpack if you're interested in learning about it. There's a lot of resources out there.
There's actually a whole YouTube channel where you're mm-hmm. the star of it, where you're educating yes, exactly. people about this and how they can function through with the help of Notion. So, I mean, if there were, we couldn't have laid that one out better. Mm-hmm. I think
totally.
Okay. So I always like to talk about how people make money and like what their mm-hmm. business is like. Cause I think if we're not talking about money, how are we supposed to know how much to charge people? How are we supposed to know what our opportunities are and all the things that are associated with it? So talk to us, how do you make money as a creator?
Well, for me specifically, I just got monetized recently. So that's been really great. And I actually found out that my CPMs are higher than most because it's a software I'm talking about, which is Notion. So it depends on specifically your industry, how much you can make from YouTube. But for me, one of the things I've been doing as well is selling Notion templates. So I use my YouTube channel as a driver to sell my Notion templates, which is on Gumroad. So that's like probably the main thing that I do from YouTube. I also have online courses and one-on-one coaching. And those are kind of the main ways that I've made money. I also run a really large local organization in my town, which I try to make that on YouTube, but it's so hard because it's so hyper-localized that I do a lot better on platforms like Instagram. And so mm-hmm. for the last like 3-4 years, I've been growing that. We have almost 20,000 followers on Instagram. It's grown really big in my local area. And I do a lot of local workshops and events. And so it's interesting because like I found that YouTube doesn't always quite overlap in the same way with local as you'd think. It's definitely more geared to just the world. Like people follow me from every country, you know, like it's just such a worldwide platform. So if you're trying to build a local audience on a site like YouTube, it's very difficult. But there are better sites like Instagram for that. But for me, I found that, you know, I have a ton of different ways to make money. And sometimes, again, with ADHD, like I almost go in too many directions. So lately I've actually been focused on potentially pursuing again full-time work because I really need to get back down to like, I need like one stable thing because I've been spread too thin for a few too many years.
And do you think that the desire to go back to work is a little bit to do with like the, what is it? The, I don't want to say the volatility, because that's not the right word. Mm-hmm. The diversity that comes with YouTube. One of the things that once you're a YouTuber, mm-hmm. you're going with it, especially when you start diving into like the monetization, when you listen to podcasts yeah. like this, you mm-hmm. see there's so many ways to make money. And so it can be like, you feel like you're chasing like 100 mm-hmm. squirrels at once. And sometimes you just need to like sit back and just keep it simple and create content and let that build up. And then you're able to kind of dive into the other opportunities that are available from it as well.
Yeah. I think for me, the difference between me and somebody else is I'm very fast with my channel because I went to film school. I've had 15 years of video editing experience. I can quickly make a YouTube video and have it up, but it's like whether or not I get the stuff together to even, you know, think of the idea and all that stuff and figure out what do I even want it to say. So one of the things I'm like, I could do that on a Saturday morning in 3 hours. I'm good for the week. You know, so it's like if I'm and I publish weekly. Some people publish more, some people publish less. I usually do either Wednesday or Thursday morning. I don't know why, but like I found that those are the best days for me. I usually try to post them around noon, like people are eating lunch or something. And I just find that with the internet at large, there are so many ways to make money, whether it's through courses, ads, affiliate links, sponsorships. You know, I haven't gotten sponsored yet. I think I could very soon because I'm so niche down. I could, you know, be sponsored by a Notion affiliate like company or some other software. I find that that is something I could potentially pursue in the future. But I think if you're just getting started on YouTube, I mean, just focus on making your videos really great at first, and then you'll grow your audience. I think that's kind of where I still am right now, at least in that process.
Yeah. I like what you said though about like focusing and just getting started, like, and that's how it's going to work. I always like to remind people the first time you do something, you're not supposed to be good at it. You're not going to be good at it. That's just how this works. And YouTube mm-hmm. is no different. So don't beat yourself up because it's not like you're making a thing of thousands of dollars mm-hmm. in like the first year or something. Like it doesn't yeah. work that way. And mm-hmm. I like how what Jenna's doing where she's got these other ways to make revenue mm-hmm. separate from AdSense, which is what all YouTubers should be doing. Like she has her digital product. I'm sure you mm-hmm. have an affiliate too that mm-hmm. you get with your software that you're teaching people about, all that kind of stuff. So there's mm-hmm. lots of opportunities, I think, within that. Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it. So let's pivot into the conversation about like what it is that we think that creators need to do to get started. What do you think is holding creators back? Why are they not creating on YouTube?
You know, it's so funny because there's not a lot of people in my like local community that are even thinking about YouTube. A lot of people are starting podcasts. I think it's because it's a little bit easier because you know, with video, it's video and audio. With podcasts, it's just audio. So I think sometimes it's a little bit less of a barrier to entry. But I find I'm way more attracted to YouTube. I don't know. I've always been, I had a podcast for 5 years and I really, really, and I love yours. And I love that you're so specific. Mine was all over the place. It was not organized at all. And I just came to the point where I'm like, I'd rather just be doing YouTube than making this podcast. So for me, I found that it was just my passion and my love. You do have to have a passion for it or it's not going to work. That's the first thing is like, if you are like, you know, my parents were babysitting the 7-year-old the other day and they were telling me this girl, just all she wanted to do was make a YouTube channel. Like that's all, she's 7 years old. You know, all these kids are wanting to make YouTube because that's what they're seeing. And you have to have this passion for it. And it's becoming easier to do. There's more equipment. There's, you know, but the thing I think what's holding people back is confidence being on camera. I think a lot of people are very insecure with the way they look. But I think, you know, now everyone's on Zoom all the time. Maybe we're getting used to seeing each other on camera. But I feel like a lot of people, that's the biggest barrier, as well as the technical way to, like, how do I edit? How do I upload? What's the, you know, there's so many different like hacks and little things. And that's kind of something that I've been considering teaching as well, is like, I know a lot of this stuff because I've been on YouTube since 2006 and I watch a lot of YouTube. I kind of know some of the things that just from seeing it, what works and what doesn't. And it's easier and harder now to start a YouTube channel. It's easier because there's a lot more resources. It's harder because there's a lot more competition and you really have to find your niche. And you can grow. Like there's a lot of people watching YouTube. There's actually more people watching YouTube, I think, than like Netflix. So it's like, there's a lot of people that are able to be discovered if you utilize the right tools.
So a little bit of rapid fire so we can kind of know how you do your creating mm-hmm. process.
Yeah.
So what camera do you use?
Okay. So I have the Canon 80D, which I got in 2015, maybe. I got it right when it launched. It was like, I think it was like $1,200 and it's great. I had it for 5 years, so it's awesome.
I'm the same with my Canon M50. I'm like, I think I'm about to upgrade because I'm going to finally set up my studio and I need like a camera I can like live stream with and record long stuff with and stuff. And I'm just, it's time, I think. So it's been like 4 years of this. So, who are your favorite female creators?
Oh, well, I love all the Notion ladies. So Marie Poulin is one of my favorites for that. There's so many. I used to love back in the day, my favorite was Zoella. I don't know if you remember her, Zoe Suggs. She was from England. She was like a vlogger. I'm trying to think of all the people that I watch. I literally have a list in my Notion board of all my favorites. I really like a lot of, one of my favorites is Grace Randolph. I don't know if she does like movie news. I love all things like movie reactions, TV show reactions. Trin Lovell is a great one. Oh gosh, I should have like prepared for this.
You knew this was coming. You listened.
I know. I'm like, if you literally open up my YouTube, I could literally just see all the people. But I really think that There are some amazing YouTubers out there. I've been watching the Merrill twins lately because one of them just got married, and they've always been someone I've known about, and I just was like, oh, they got such great content. There's been so many people throughout the years. I Justine, she's classic. She's like one of the first. I actually met her sort of when I lived in LA. Like, there's just these YouTubers that I've been around forever that I just love. I'm a really big fan of Caroline Gervin. She is a fitness YouTuber.
Okay.
Absolutely love her. I do her workouts almost every day, and I joined her Facebook group. So there's like kind of a niche for everything, whether that's cooking or fitness or whatever you're looking for. And those are just some of the ones that I like to watch.
So, who is your dream collaboration, company or person?
Let me think. I really like, again, all the Notion people. Again, I get like so nerdy. August Bradley is one of my favorite people. I joined his mastermind, I guess, or whatever. He's a great one. They're actually all going to be speaking at this Notion thing. But I'm a big fan of like the Try Guys and Smosh. I love like the comedy people. I listen to their podcasts. I just love all the BuzzFeed people. Watcher is one of my favorite channels. So all the people that came from BuzzFeed, I was like such a big BuzzFeed fan. It was so weird. I like their videos are so fun. And
I
now
get that.
all of them have moved on to other channels, like Sophia Nygaard and Michelle Khoury, and like all these people that were back at BuzzFeed and now have like really just blossomed on YouTube. I'm a big fan of all the, I would probably say the Try Guys. I love them.
Okay. What's your favorite video you've made so far?
I think that the one that I did recently on what not to buy with ADHD, I just feel like that video came together really well, and I feel like I had a lot of great points. And I don't know, I just like I watch it back and I'm like, this is really helpful. So I like that video a lot.
And what's the next YouTube goal you're looking forward to crushing?
I mean, I would like to just grow as fast as possible, hit 10,000. Hopefully within, I would love to hit 10,000 maybe by the end of the year. I don't know if that'll happen, but eventually get that 100K plaque. That's like probably my biggest goal is like getting that plaque and
Same.
being
So
able
much
to do it
faith.
full time. I would love to do YouTube full time. I think it's something that I could see eventually, but might take a bit of time to get there financially. But I could just make YouTube for the rest of my life if I wanted to. Like I just I or for other people too, like I just love the platform so much.
It's a good one. It gives so much opportunity to people. Like, there's who would have thought? Like, we could just sit in on like videos and put them on the internet and make money. Like, obviously, it's not that simple. That's the common misconception. But it's a job and it's fun and it's rewarding and it gives so much to people. So like, this is a fantastic way to be. And I'm sure that you're gonna get yourself there along with other people. So any final advice that you have for our listeners who are like, maybe they're not doing stuff, or they're doing as good as they want, or they just need a little bit of pep in their step to get them going. What advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I think figuring out, first of all, what you want to talk about, and utilizing other platforms too. Like, I'm really a fan of TikTok. I think a lot of people are starting there and then moving to YouTube. So if that is a little bit easier for you to do that. Build an audience there and then say, hey, if you want a fuller, longer version of this, go to YouTube. I know YouTube is doing shorts as well. So like there's a lot of options for if you don't have a camera, maybe you can't afford one, you just use your iPhone. Get a tripod that's $20 on Amazon, set it up, get some good lighting. Editing, you can edit on Canva now. Like there's a lot of options. So I think if you're really passionate about it, you should just do it. Don't wait for permission from anyone. And even if you don't make money right away, like the goal should be for you to enjoy it. Like that the money shouldn't be the main reason you're doing YouTube. It should be kind of a bonus. So I think that's the thing that I think sometimes people get tripped up with is like, oh, it's not making money right away. It's not worth it. I'm gonna give up. So I think really focusing on why you're doing it and pursuing your passion.
Love that. All right. Where can people find you on the YouTubes?
Yeah, so everything on the internet is my name. So Jenna Redfield. So that's TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, everywhere. Just search my name. I'm the only Jenna Redfield in the world, I found out. So literally,
Wow.
I know. So I've, it's not super common last name apparently, and not a common first name. So I'm like, sweet, I literally own the website, I own everything. So just go in my name and you'll find me where you need to.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time and your journey and sharing it with us. Like, seriously, like, it's just amazing to have you here, and just shows that, like, no matter who you are, where you are in life, and what you're doing, what your expertise are, there's a way for you to be on YouTube, make money doing it, and do something that makes you happy. And so I'm just so grateful for you, Jenna, for being here. Everyone who's listening, remember, you are impossibly amazing. Until next time, see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.